What is going on?
We're back.
We are. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. Thank you for asking. It's week two. Yeah, I like this. I like this, you know, going over, you know, the different categories in the stack charts because, it gives us a chance to sort of talk about, like, you know, what's happening, who's there, what's coming up. So, hey, I have a question. How did, you know, last week you were on with your Apple Vision Pro, what's your assessment? Like, where are you at with it now?
I'm cautiously optimistic. And I say cautiously because I want to be in love with the product. The problem, air quote problem, is that it just doesn't have a bazillion apps like the iPad or iPhone do. So,
yeah.
You know, it's like, it's great. I have, you know, my neck is fused. So like, this is all my range of motion. So I can't use like a laptop on my lap. So the ability to put a screen wherever I want, have it floating up on the ceiling or whatever, like it is awesome for accessibility. I love it for that. It just doesn't have the app support yet. It'll get there though.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like when Jobs introduced iPhone for the first time, you know.
Yeah.
And then the developer integration at third party app thing exploded after that. So, it's gonna be interesting to see what they do. You know, one thing I've always loved about VR/AR type things is I've always had this vision of being able to go into like a server room, you know. Or even looking at a whole cubicle of desks and stuff, just looking at, I can see, you know, like the IPs and, you know, where things are going, things like that. So, but
we'll see. Unify is already working on it. Unify has got some pretty cool stuff when it comes to augmented reality with, I haven't used it yet, but my, what I've heard is you hold the app up with your phone and it shows you details about the switches and firewalls and whatever you got in the rack. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. 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 I remember that. I'm waiting for the day. I just look and just work with my hands and just keep looking around, you know, so
absolutely.
Minority Report style. Yeah,
absolutely, man. I think we're all waiting for that day. But but hey, welcome everyone to Stack Chart Spotlight. Garrett already said this is week two. We're excited to be here. I'm Steve. This is Garrett with me. We are from Channel Program, and every Monday we go live to talk about a new category of tools for MSPs. You can learn more about the tools that we're going to discuss today and hundreds more by going to channelprogram.com and heading to the menu in the top right, hitting MSP Tools, and clicking on Category Explorer / Stack Charts. This week, we're going to talk about the Vulnerability Assessment and Management Tools, which is a subcategory under cybersecurity. Cybersecurity, that's something that it wasn't really a thing when I started my MSP. Like it wasn't a thing that we focused on for our small business clients back in 2009. Like we just wanted to make sure we had antivirus and good backups. Backups was the big thing.
Yeah. But you know, 2009, if I remember correctly, that was the year but it was right around the time when the cloud was becoming, you know, a thing, and there were a lot of naysayers and, you know, hey, things are going to be insecure. It's going to lead to hacks, all kinds of stuff. So I think, a lot happened, you know, from that point forward.
It did. And that's, you know, that's not me trying to minimize anything that happened in 2009. I mean, heck, wasn't that when Microsoft first launched Office 365, but before it was Office 365, when it was BPOS? Remember that? Business Productivity Online Suite or something like that?
Yeah, it was like a Exchange Online was starting to expand out. It was something like that. Yeah. I don't know the exact years, but yeah, it was, when you get big guys like that starting to lead the way, you know, kind of have a pretty good idea of what's coming.
So, I've got my screen shared. Garrett, if you wouldn't mind putting that up on the, on the stream. That would be awesome. This is the stack chart for cybersecurity vulnerability assessment and management, like I mentioned earlier. And you'll see that similar to last week, there's one vendor that is clearly a chart topper. And there's a lot of vendors in this list. Like if we go through this list, it feels like it scrolls for days. Definitely a lot more cybersecurity vendors than there are for documentation.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can go through this, but that is, well, vulnerability assessment management's, especially when I was starting out 2009 as well, 2010, 11. Yeah. It was difficult, you know, like a lot of SMBs that we go to, they didn't, they're like, why do we need it? Kind of what you said, you just need an AV and, you know, whatever else, a network, and you were good. But I like where we're at with the vulnerability assessment because it was difficult. You know, you need to know that you had some of your staff could use things like Nmap or, you know, Burp Suite, you know, things like that. Like, and those are still being used today. But I like what's happening since then. You know, as you go down that list, it just shows that it's like you don't necessarily have to have, you know, a dedicated staff with the expertise to be able to know what to do. But they, these guys have come in, said, we'll make this easy. But it's also with, I mean, these guys are solving all kinds of problems. I mean, they just throw it out there like insurance, regulation requirements, you know, there's all kinds of stuff. They make it a lot easier. So as somebody who was doing a long time to where I am now, I know there's a lot of people out there right now watching this. You know what I'm talking about? You know, just like really need to know. But it wasn't just about running the tool. It was about being able to interpret the results and being able to, you know, remediate, you know, how the, what you're going to do. And, but yeah, there's a lot of teeth now around this. So, which is good, but I'm glad to see the list is big and deep like this. Yeah.
I agree. And, you know, one thing I want to point out, you'll notice like some of these logos are bold and colorful, and some of them are like grayed out or, or semi-transparent. I just want to make sure everyone knows that this is simply our way of showing you which companies have partnered with Channel Program, but all of the companies, whether they're grayed out or not, all of the companies are searchable, findable, reviewable. You can add them to your Navis stack. Even companies that aren't on this list, if you have a new company you're working with, you can add them to your Navis stack and, you know, write reviews for them. And we vet everything and then approve it and put it online.
Yeah.
So when I was doing some research on this, I started looking into Cyrisma, and I went down a rabbit hole, Garrett. So I learned things. So Cyrisma, you can tell that their CEO, Liam Downward, you can tell that he takes cybersecurity very seriously because they assess customer system configurations against CIS benchmarks. And something I've never heard of before, DISA or DISA, I don't know if you're supposed to pronounce it or spell it, STIGS to find configuration gaps. So I ended up looking into this because I want to know what the heck I'm talking about. I learned that there's a government agency called the United States Defense Information Systems Agency. They're basically like the central IT agency for the DoD, and they're responsible for information systems, infrastructure, and cybersecurity that enables DoD communications and operations worldwide. And the configuration standards that it publishes, those are the STIGs. And I forget what STIGs stands for, but those are the standards that they publish. So that's the rabbit hole I went down. I learned about a new agency. There are so many agencies, man.
Yeah, there are. There's all kinds of stuff out there where it's like, wait, huh? Never heard of these people. Or also if they change their name or something like that. But yeah, man, there's all kinds of them out there. So
there really are. Now, the reason that these icons are kind of scattered all over the place, you'll mm-hmm. see that our charts have two axes, whatever.
Yeah.
So one up and down is popularity, and left and right is satisfaction. So if an icon is up higher on our chart, that means that we've gotten a lot of people to add it to their Navi stack, and that people have added a lot of reviews for the product. You'll see Cyrisma mm-hmm. has 14 reviews, which doesn't sound like a whole lot, but the next highest reviews is 6, which is why they're just so much higher as far as popularity is concerned. And then satisfaction, the left and right, or I think this is the x-axis, I don't know. Satisfaction is basically how well are they reviewed, and it's more than just like an overall I give it a 5-star. We ask a lot of questions in our reviews. Garrett, how many questions do we ask?
We ask, I have to double check where we're, but I think we ask about 15 or 16. I have to double check on that, but yeah, we're there's a good portion of those questions that will help average out, you know, the satisfaction, you know, with the popularity, where they move on that. So, yeah, there's a lot that we ask, and, you know, time to time we update it to, you know, get a little bit more granular. So it's a little more, not accurate, but a little higher quality in terms of, you know, where these guys would land and what people were saying about them.
Yeah. So, I mean, we ask questions from like, you know, what do you like most about the product? What do you want to see on their roadmap? Like we just, mm-hmm. we really ask a lot of questions. So that way when other MSPs are looking at the reviews for each of these products, you know, we want, you know, for lack of a better term, we want people to see the good, the bad, the ugly, and have, be able to make a fair assessment of any one of these products on our platform. So, looking at this by popularity, which I believe is how this is sorted, Connect Secure, formerly Cyber CNS. Have you had any experience with these guys?
No, not anything hands on. You said they were formerly, they had the name change in branding and stuff, but, I'm definitely seeing them more out in the community, people talking about them. So it's been interesting to see, you know, what's been going on with them. So I think, a lot of these guys, you know, as you've going down this, you know, I think one of the things about vulnerability scanning, you know, because, you know, we've seen some demos with them, you know, especially when they post videos. But I think one of the greatest things about a lot of these guys, they show you sort of an assessment, you know, of where you are, kind of similar to Microsoft's Secure Store, you know, where is that, here is where you are, and then you could kind of see, you know, how you're making progress, against, you know, what you're finding, which is great because we're showing this to your clients. You know, you could even show them their own, and then how you've made progress at, you know, over months and quarters, things like that. So I think that there's so many of these, but they're all just the fact that they serve the function that they're serving is just, I'm not partial to anyone, but I just like, you can't go wrong, you know, with plugging in any vulnerability and, you know, scanning and management. But, you know, the thing about it is, This stuff used to be more of an add-on, like this is just a little extra. Oh, hey, we offer security services. But I think that, you know, in today's world, it's more of like, it has to be part of your stack, because mm-hmm. insurance is coming along, you know, and you know, it's just, it's a no-brainer, especially with the cloud. And it's just easy to, you know, get dinged, you know, but whether or not anything happened or not, but it's great to see all these guys out here, you know, especially from, you know, making things so easy for you, you know, taking that complicated thing out, how it used to be. It was very complicated, you know, back then in the lift, the analysis, and, you know, figuring out how you're going to fix it. And then on top of that, convincing your client to use this and pay for it, you know? So I think, I like where we're at. I think they've solved a lot of problems and making things easier for the MSP, where you don't have to be this, you know, expert, you know, like it used to be in the past, where you really need to know your stuff. We still need to know your stuff, but you know what I mean. Right.
No, I know exactly what you mean, man. I'm over here taking notes too. So, you know, the one thing that would be great. I don't know if you're able to easily access this information, but how many MSPs have added one of these platforms to their Navis stack?
Oh man, that's a fantastic question. Give me a minute. I can see if I can find something for you. But I, you know, just, you know, talk of a lot of these MSPs, there's really not that many that I have talked to that have not, you know, you haven't heard vulnerability access management, I mean, not vulnerability scanning and management come up, because everybody is doing it, you know. If you don't, somebody else comes along, they're, you know, the clients be like, oh yeah, maybe we do need to, you know, have this. So it's, I mean, I guess if you don't have it, it's more of a competitive advantage for somebody.
Mm-hmm. You know? So one thing that I want to say about cybersecurity is that there are, if you look here at, let me go back a page. If we just look at cybersecurity, look at all these categories. I mean, this is kind of intense. Cybersecurity is such a, I don't know, such a big thing these days that if you're an MSP and you don't have a handful of these tools already in your solution stack, I think you're already at a disadvantage, if I'm being completely honest. Now, could I tell you, oh, you should have these specific tools? Like, you, all MSPs need to have a vulnerability scanning and management tool. Like, I can't tell you that, but I can tell you that the most successful MSPs, the ones that are generating the most revenue, have really started to add XDR and zero trust and, you know, a SOC, a SIM, a SOAR, all of these different cybersecurity things. They're adding it all, man, and that's because they see the competitive advantage, one, and two, they know that their clients need it. You know, their clients are the kind that, you know, maybe they've got clients that need a CMMC, which, yeah, love it or hate it, is a thing. Or they just have some other government regulatory compliance thing, right? And these types of platforms are what will make it easier for you to prove that they're compliant.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, so just kind of, the, what you're going to see, vulnerability assessment management, you know, percentage wise, you know, and, you know, as people build these stacks up, you know, it gets fuller and fuller, but, right now, I mean, you're looking anywhere 15-20% of all stacks have some vulnerability assessment and management tool in it, which is a little surprising. I figured it'd be a lot higher, but it's also, you know, it's kind of one of those things where you know, some of these guys have different, you know, feature sets inside of it. So they can move it, you know, to different categories like dark web scanning, things like that. But so it's really interesting, you know, where they put them and then where they move out some of the features. But that's still a lot, you know, about all the MSPs that are putting in stuff. So, there's a lot of room for growth here, because one of the things too is, even though you have this, it's still not like as easy as like a password manager. You know, you still need to have some idea of what it is you're doing and why it's important. So I think there's an education component to this that some MSPs may say, I don't get near that. I'd rather have, you know, have something separate, which is understandable, you know, because, you know, it is something that, you really have to know how to work with this stuff, what they're going to do for you, but it is a commitment, you know? And, but I think as time goes on, we're going to see more, that percentage definitely increase.
I agree too. And as you said, 15-20%, that means if you act now and start researching and picking one of these tools, you'll have a competitive advantage over potentially 80-85% of the MSPs in your area. You'll mm-hmm. be able to say, I'm doing something that most of the other MSPs in my area are not. And here's proof.
Yeah. Yeah. That was, it's kind of the same thing where we used to focus on law firms. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those things where, you know, after a while I realized with marketing and, you know, our services, like, there were aspects of it that we offered it, or we didn't offer as well, that we realized, or we're losing out. Basically, it's a competitive advantage. So we, you know, and that's the beauty about the industry. It's always changing. All these new services coming on. Like, okay, cool. We can manage that sort of stuff now, and it's not as daunting as it used to be. That's what we had to figure out. And that's why we did, I thought we did pretty well for what we did. You know, we figured out, hey, we're going to focus on law firms, entertainment law, you know, all kinds of stuff. Because we're in Los Angeles and this guy's ruining every corner, you know? But it was also about just, you know, especially with lawyers, they know that, when you say you're going to do what you're going to do, you know, and why, those guys know all the fine details, and they're also aware of new laws coming out, especially when they're going to their conferences. You know, they get updated on, like, hey, cyber insurance stuff, you know, is your IT guy, or are you guys on it? They'll come back with those questions, but hey, I have a question. Are we, how's our, do we have vulnerability and, you know, scanning and all that, you know? And, you know, so that's kind of one of those things where really understanding your market, you know, for that competitive advantage, especially with phone scanning, is could really come in handy, you know, in knowing that, you know, this applies to them, you know, maybe not the conversation you're having, but industry wide, you know. So it was a real thing with us. So we, you know, we always had to stay on top of not just what we know, but what's important to them with their industry and their peers. I think you're muted, Steve. Boop, boop.
Oops. Well, very cool. Thanks for hopping on here and helping me out with this today, Garrett.
Yeah, man. Thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to next week. You going to come on with your Apple Vision, or are you going to go back to Oculus? It's not Oculus anymore now, right?
It's the Meta Quest.
Meta.
Yeah. No, you know, I've got a Meta Quest too, and it has more games, but I've already found that the Apple is more accessible friendly already out of the box, version 1.0.2.
All right. Well, keep me updated. I'm looking forward to more meetings. You come in with that thing on, with your little weird ghost Casper face, whatever's
happening
there.
My persona.
Strange. Yeah.
Yeah. Very,
yeah.
Cool, man. Well, hey, thanks for watching, everyone. And we will catch you guys next week at the next Stack Chart Spotlight. Take care.
Thank you. Bye.